This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Now a hair growth product with natural ingredients and fast results. Reveal from GCNLife.com.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Health Secretary Alex Azar saying as of now, most Americans should not be worried about the coronavirus outbreak here. At a White House event yesterday, he was cheering what he called President Trump's historically aggressive containment efforts. Meanwhile, in California, officials are trying to locate everyone that was in contact with a woman thought to be the first known coronavirus case in the nation of unknown origin. The woman lives near the San Francisco Bay Area, and Dr. Bella Matias is the Solano County Public Health Officer.
The individual is really only potentially infectious for about a three-day window before hospitalization occurred. And so we have a narrow enough window to work with that we can be very aggressive in identifying all the possible contacts in the community.
Yesterday marked six straight trading sessions of plungers on Wall Street over coronavirus fears. The Dow lost nearly 1,200 points. This is USA Radio News.
If you're thinking about life insurance from low-cost term to business or estate coverage or perhaps a small policy to cover your final expenses, why spend more than you have to? Hi, I'm John David Wells from the Wells Report. Since 1986, AccuQuote has helped hundreds of thousands of folks save a fortune on their life insurance by quickly comparing the rates, features, and financial strength of dozens of top-rated life insurance products right over the phone. Want some examples? A healthy 50-year-old non-smoker can buy a $500,000 10-year level term policy for less than $45 a month. Oh, you say you're 60? No problem. Under $120 a month. 20 or 30 year terms, even permanent plans are available. Okay, so you might have some health problems, huh? Lots of us do, but the experts at AccuQuote will still work with you to find the best affordable policy. To find out how much you can save, call AccuQuote today, 877-439-8830. That's 877-439-8830, 877-439-8830. AccuQuote, call them today.
Each policy points and availability vary by state.
Not only are Democrats trying to get out the vote for Bernie Sanders in South Carolina in tomorrow's Democratic primary, but Republican activists are as well. Many Republicans, as well as more than a few Democratic Party leaders, believe the Vermont senator who's running as an avowed Democratic socialist would lose big to President Trump in November. The L.A. County Sheriff's Department's investigating claims that deputies shared graphic images of the helicopter crash that killed Kobe Bryant and eight others. The photos that show human remains reportedly were shared with other officers who were not part of the investigation. Tennessee Governor Bill Lee is backing legislation to allow residents of his state carry a firearm without a permit. He says they have a responsibility to uphold the framework that the founding fathers established.
I'm announcing that we will be joining 16 other states in this nation by introducing a constitutional carry law in the state of Tennessee.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Friends and family, did you have a great night's sleep last night? I did. I'm healthier than I've ever been. I work better than I ever have. And you know what? You can have that health. You can have that good night's sleep if you order a MyPillow. Try it. Mike Lindell guarantees it. He's got a 60-day money-back guarantee on the MyPillow and a 10-year warranty. Go to MyPillow.com. Click on the radio listener special. Use my promo code USA or call 1-800-951-8175.
Forecasters say a blizzard could dump 4 feet of snow on upstate New York today. The National Weather Service is predicting a huge amount of what's actually lake effect snow, which is caused by freezing air blowing over the warm water of the Great Lakes. And that's going to be accompanied by 60-mile-an-hour wind gusts and often some whiteout conditions. They say about 4 feet of snow could pile up on the Tug Hill Plateau just north of Syracuse by tonight, so blizzard warnings are in effect throughout the region for this afternoon and evening. They say snowfall rates during that blizzard could top 5 inches every hour. Green Day and BTS are canceling performances in Asia because of that deadly coronavirus outbreak. Green Day postponing its upcoming March tour of Asia that was supposed to have stops in Thailand, Hong Kong, Singapore, and South Korea. The band does plan to reschedule, though. Meanwhile, K-pop powerhouse BTS canceled 4 upcoming shows in the South Korean capital of Seoul. And the Federal Communications Commission is hoping to slap $200 million fines on four major mobile phone carriers. The FCC accuses AT&T, Verizon, Sprint, and T-Mobile of improperly disclosing user location data in violation of federal law. A website flaw apparently allowed those locations to be tracked by third-party firms. And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Why have thousands of aspiring authors teamed up with Christian Faith Publishing to publish their book? Because Christian Faith Publishing is an author-friendly publisher who understands that your labor is more than just a book. We provide authors freedom and flexibility throughout the publishing process, professional book editing, award-winning design, and some of the highest royalty structures in the publishing industry. And as always, you will retain 100% of the rights to your book.
I was looking to find a company that I could trust, one that assisted in the editing process completely.
The most important qualities that I was looking for was a publisher who was honest and upfront. No hidden costs or fees and owning the rights to my own work.
Christian Faith Publishing will publish, market, and sell your books in all major bookstores, online booksellers, as well as specialty Christian bookstores. Call for your free author submission kit.
800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. 800-978-4811. That's 800-978-4811.
America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
Do even when we're here in Nashville for NRB 2020. Hello, America. Bill Martinez here. For more information on the show, go to BillMartinezLive.com. You have now entered the grumble-free zone, and you can be thankful for Tricia Goyer and her much-heralded book, The Grumble-Free Year. 12 months, imagine. 11 family members and one impossible goal. Tricia, welcome to the show. Good to have you with us.
Thank you so much for having me, Bill.
And this is not your first rodeo, you told me. I mean, 70 books, Lord have mercy, you've been busy.
I have been. I wrote mostly Christian fiction, but I write parenting, too.
Well, yeah, you think you got plenty of practice with, you know, lots of kids in there. You got 10 kids.
Yes, got 10 kids. The fiction is easier to write because my characters do what I want them to. The kids, not so much.
But I'm sure they're good character witnesses, or at least
they are.
Outline, right?
Yes.
Well, a little bit of the backstory. We were talking, Trish and I, before we went on the air, and it's amazing how her family just expanded so dramatically.
It has.
Yeah. Yes. So you started out with two.
Yeah, well, we have three biological.
Three biological.
And then we adopted a baby girl from a direct placement.
Mm-hmm.
A couple years later, we adopted a five-year-old and a two-year-old from foster care.
Oh.
And then we had to fill in the middle because our older kids were almost out of the house. We had toddlers. So we adopted four teenage girls in 2016.
Four teenage girls.
Oh, my goodness.
And your husband, what is he in therapy still?
Well, I think, you know, he went gray. Years. He went from black hair to gray hair.
So you're telling me adopting kids is like potato chips. You just can't have one, right?
I know.
Is that the deal?
I think so.
But how much fun. So then you figure out, okay, we got all these chillins and everything in this house here, and we got to have some rules of engagement here. And,
that's right.
Because were things getting a little chaotic?
When they first moved in, there was a lot of past trauma, so there's a lot of anger that we're dealing with.
Yeah.
Attitudes, they didn't trust us, they had a failed adoption. The four girls had a failed adoption.
Oh, especially teenagers, right?
And teenagers.
Yeah.
And so we got over a lot of those big hurdles, but there was just the grumbling, the complaining. We tried to go on trips and do stuff, and it's just, you're touching me, you're looking at me, and that's my shirt.
I don't even look like you're touching me.
Exactly. And so really, my husband and I said, we need to do something, and that's when we proposed the Grumble for You. We're going on a road trip from Little Rock, Arkansas to Seattle. I was speaking in Seattle. We're like, let's take the family. Oh, my goodness. 2,000 miles later, we said, we need to do something.
Oh, so this is like a scene from Chevy Chase's Vacation, right?
Yeah. If there's
except
video
nobody's
cameras
up on top of the roof or
right.
something.
I'm like, this
almost
is reality TV that no one would want to watch.
Right, exactly. And that's tough. You're in the car. You're going cross country, and you're dealing with all this dynamic, and you love these kids, and you just want peace.
Yes, and we know that there can be peace possible, but often we don't teach our kids how to act the right way. We're just, stop doing that. Don't do that. Don't act that way. Don't talk that way. And so really, we realized, like, we need to start. We need to make some ground rules. We need to think about how we can do this, and we knew it wouldn't happen overnight. So that's why we said, let's try for a year. We promised if you guys work at it, we know no one's perfect, we'll take you on a family cruise.
I mean, here you are. I mean, you've written 70 books, a lot of parenting, counseling advice. Stuff like that. Now it's like, hey, I got to go back and read that book that I wrote.
Exactly. That's right.
So you figure out, okay, let's come up with some idea that, I mean, you've got the span of kids here, and everybody's got to be in. So what did you come up with?
Well, we said we're going to sit down, we're going to memorize some scripture verses together. We knew we were going to read through Exodus because the grumbling Israelites, they didn't get to go into the promised land because of their grumbling. So we really wanted them to see that God takes this as a big deal. It's not just, you know, there's big sins and small sins. The grumbling is really saying, we don't trust you.
Right.
God, you're not doing enough for us. And so we set out to do that. Along the way, there's some things that worked. There's some things that didn't work. There's surprises that came.
Right.
My grandma lives with us, too. So she's 88.
Oh, wow.
And during the year, she actually broke her back. And I thought, I don't have time to care for her. I was caring for her full time, my kids. And I kind of pushed the grumbling to the side because we were just trying to survive. But it was during that time that she just praised God. Even when she had a broken back, she would sit there and praise God and sing the old hymns that she knew. My kids said, man, if grandma isn't grumbling when she's laying in her bed in a back brace, we don't need to grumble about the little things. So even things that I didn't expect would happen during the year, those were even things that taught us about not grumbling and about hardwiring praise into our hearts instead.
Well, Tricia, you know, the kids, especially adopted, I mean, you're not training them up when they're young. I mean, you're getting them in midstream.
Yeah.
So you didn't have a lot of Christian foundation there. So how did you introduce, I guess the way I could see it is probably you just threw them in the deep end of the pool. I mean, they came into a Christian home, so you're going to get Christian doctrine whether you like it or not,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. And they had some of the foster homes they'd been in, and the four girls had been in a children's home that was a Baptist children's home.
Okay.
So they had a little bit, but really, I homeschool them. So every day we would just start with the Bible. And they would say, like, why aren't we doing math? Why aren't we doing... And I'm like, we'll get to the math, we'll get to the grammar, but this is going to impact the rest of your life. And we memorize, you know, do everything without grumbling and complaining, and seek first the kingdom of God and, you know, the fruits of the Spirit. I said, you know, God isn't expecting you to do this on your own. He wants to help you.
Right.
And he wants to give you love, joy, peace. And that's how we turn to him. And so really, you know, sometimes they'd be sitting there rolling their eyes. But with three adult kids, I know, like, even if it doesn't seem like they're listening, that they are getting something. And we just kept plugging along.
Right. Well, and again, even kids, they will do that which they get rewarded for.
Mm-hmm.
From, you know, that they and by that, I don't mean necessarily that, you know, yes, we did the trip, but, you know, each step of the way, they see benefit. You know, they may resist it, but then they start seeing it maybe in the other sibling. They saw it in grandma. Maybe saw it in you and your husband, you know?
Yeah, and I really had to humble myself because I grumble sometimes, too, a lot of times, too, about the dirty clothes, about the dirt they'd, you know, trail in. And I would have to say, I'm so sorry, I grumbled. And the more I humbled myself and said, I shouldn't be doing this, the more they reacted. But you brought the point up about, they, you know, kids want to be appreciated. They want to be praised. They want, when we catch them doing something right. And I remember one time, one of my daughters always grumbled about doing the chores. Her kitchen chore was the worst. She just complained the whole time. And I was praying about it, and I felt God's Spirit saying, like, well, you go in there and you say, you didn't do this right. You didn't do that right. You're picking out what she doesn't do right.
Right.
I wouldn't, you know, you wouldn't like someone doing that to you. And so the next day I went in, and she was wiping off the counter, and I'm like, you are doing such a great job on this, you know, 6-inch square space of the counter. And all of a sudden she perked up, and she started wiping off the whole counter, and she started moving things out of the way. And I just kept walking by and going. I was doing laundry and going by, and I'd just start praising her. And pretty soon the whole kitchen was clean.
Yes.
And I realized the more that I show appreciation when my kids are doing things, then they'll want to do it. Of course they're going to grumble if I'm just going to complain about the way they're doing it. So really, I was training them, and God was like, okay, let's look at you.
Yes.
Let's look at, even at your parenting. I know you're trying to do a good job. We want to teach them to be responsible adults, but let's try it with praising them and encouraging them instead of just showing them what they're not doing right.
Exactly. And they get the sense that they're the priority.
Yes.
You know, and I can tell you, I'm guilty of that. Our youngest son, he used to drive us nuts because, you know, he had chores to do, and he got relegated finally to like a 4x4 guest bathroom to do. And he'd grumble and he'd complain. He wasn't outside playing, going, wait a minute, for all the time you've been grumbling, I mean, you're turning something that, you know, should have been done in a half hour. I mean, you're 4 hours later.
Right.
I mean, you think you're grumbling. I'm grumbling for you know, with you. I should have, you see, I should have met you sooner. I could have, you don't know how much
We're
grief.
We're all learning.
You don't know how much grief you could have saved us. But you're going to save a lot in our audience here. What a great, great book and lots to draw from it. The Grumble Free Year, 12 months, 11 family members, and one impossible goal. That's within our own humanity, but thank God, right?
Yes, absolutely.
Tricia Goyer has been a guest. Tricia, how can they be in touch with you?
My website's just TriciaGoyer.com, T-R-I-C-I-A-G-O-Y-E-R.
You just keep it simple, don't you?
Absolutely.
I love it. Tricia, thank you so much. God bless.
Thank you.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now. And as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
Let me ask you something. What are you doing when you put money in a 401k or IRA, or store jumper cables in your vehicle, or purchase health insurance? You're preparing. You're preparing to ensure you have enough money for retirement. You're preparing for when your car battery dies, or to have assistance paying a major unexpected medical bill. That all makes sense. The same goes for building a food storage plan. You're preparing for when emergencies or disasters strike and shelves go empty at your grocery store. The best way to prepare is with My Patriot Supply. They've helped a million hardworking Americans become more self-sufficient. My Patriot Supply sells hundreds of items, including dozens of emergency food kits, at MyPatriotSupply.com. It could be an earthquake, a cyber attack freezing our banking system, or a disaster that shuts down our power grid for weeks. For all these emergencies and more, get your supplies and prepare today at MyPatriotSupply.com. No more rushing to find empty store shelves because you're too late. Do it now so you're ready. MyPatriotSupply.com.
Are you afraid to go to the mailbox because of letter after letter from the IRS? Are they stacking on more and more penalties and interest? By now, you know the problem won't go away on its own. Don't let the IRS chase you to your grave with penalties and interest and liens and levies. You need real help now. I'm Dan Pilla. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I help thousands of people solve tax problems they thought couldn't be solved. I can help you too. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com. Danpilla.com.
February is Heart Health Month. Give your heart the attention it deserves with Quantum Nutrition Lab's three featured supplements formulated to support healthy blood pressure, healthy blood sugar, and circulation. Each are buy two, get the third one free. And be sure to get your free copy of the Biofield Diet. Now is the time to commit to making your heart health a priority year-round. Call 888-588-7578. That's 888-588-7578. Or visit us online at qnlabs.com. That's QNLABS.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of the Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered and hear the latest breakthrough information for you and your family. Our product line, Quantum Nutrition Labs, delivers what others only promise, nutrition that really works.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems, listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guaranteed quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
Bill Martinez, we have a country to save.
This is your time, your call. The fight, the fight, your goal. You've come so far, keep going.
song from Danny Gokey, and a great life story, all that he's gone through. He knows about comebacks, and his life story is an encouragement to all of us that the fight's not over. We just got to keep fighting, huh? Yeah. I'm telling you, Kim Crable is back with us, and Kim, it's like once a year. This is getting to be an annual event between you and I, and I enjoy it every time we get together.
So do I. It's such an honor. Thank you for having me. This is great. So good to see you again.
Well, here we are, ladies and gentlemen, in Nashville, Tennessee, hanging out with all the cats, as they say, for NRB 2020. And Kim's got a new devotional here. You know, for those of you that think you're not okay, you can be.
Absolutely. That's exactly what God calls us to in Matthew 11:28. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. It's only in Him that we can be okay.
You know, and for those that have been able to accept that prescription and act on it,
yes.
The reality of that adds so much depth to that scripture verse.
It does. And you know, Bill, I can honestly say to you, I believe that in a moment of desperation, that was my only hope. And it should have not taken me to desperation. But many times we find our courage when we're at our lowest level.
Well, you know, the Bible says those who know their God will do mighty exploits. And you know, and mighty exploits is a subjective thing from the outside. For, you know, those of us who have gone, you know, through those valleys
yes.
of the shadow of death.
Yes.
And you realize that God's there. But it you know, It opens you up to contain, if I can say that, in a wineskin, more of God than you previously held.
Absolutely, absolutely. And I think we each are looking for the more. We know, we look at life and, you know, we're troubled, we're not sure what to do with it. We forget
mm-hmm.
that in John 16:33 that God has promised us that we are going to go through trials and tribulations, and somehow we think that God is upset or mad or condemning us or punishing us. But He said, no, this is life.
Mm-hmm.
It is not going to be easy. It's really going to be bigger than you.
Right.
But then He goes on to give us that prescription. But take heart,
exactly.
For I have overcome the world.
You know, and I think that this is the human delusion. Somehow there's human perfection, right?
Absolutely. Somewhere along the way, we all get that message that, you know, when Christ enters your life, He comes with a magic wand and everything is going to be okay.
Right.
But quite honestly, if we really think about it, that's when our truest battle begins.
Mm-hmm. But I would say, Kim, even before we come in contact with Christ, we have this idea of perfection. In fact, I was just having this interesting conversation with this couple that wrote a story about their turbulent marriage.
Yes.
And he had, and both of them had to admit that they were in pursuit of marriage perfection.
Yes.
And this was getting in the way, and it was quite a turbulent time until they finally realized that there was a better way, and it didn't involve them.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
Does that make sense?
Absolutely. It sure does. And, you know, I think when we all can look at that perspective through life, then we understand better what God is trying to say to us when He tells us that with Him, all things are possible. Not perfect, but possible.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly. And the idea, I mean, you know, of, you know, Jesus gave us the word. He gave us prescription. Said, look, if you have the faith, you can tell that mountain to get out of here, right?
Absolutely.
And I'm challenged by that, frankly.
Yes.
I think I've had those moving, you know, mountain moving moments.
Yes.
But it's trying to tie them together and trying to see them operative in every area and consistently, you know, and that sometimes is a challenge for me.
And I think it should be a challenge.
See, thank you for being my therapist, by the way. All of a sudden,
I
don't know why I'm saying this.
No, because someone needs to hear it. Because I think each and every morning we should be challenged by God's Word. Because otherwise we are challenging Him. And when He challenges us, it takes us to a place of surrender.
Mm-hmm.
Where we, in our prayer, don't say prayers so that God changes for us. That we give our lives to Him and say, we are willing to decrease so that You can increase in us.
Exactly.
And that is a challenge to our flesh.
Mm-hmm.
But that's where we all want to go. That's, I know I work with women and men around the nation daily, and we're all looking for that more. And the more is not in the externals that we can purchase and pull off the shelf. The more that we are challenged by is to be less of us and let God be greater within us.
Exactly. And that was Paul's prayer, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
And I love Paul. I mean, you think about, I'm doing this study on Ephesians now, and I love the fact that Paul is in a Roman prison. He is handcuffed, a prisoner to the Roman guards, and yet he proclaims, I am a prisoner of Christ. Mm-hmm. And that says that no matter what our circumstances are, we do not have to choose to be imprisoned by circumstances. We can allow God to use us wherever we are and be a prisoner to what Christ wants us to do.
You imagine the peace that he realized in having that, you know, that shift of paradigm, you know, going from, you know, the temporal to the spiritual and seeing those chains as chains of Christ and, and being, you know, held to servitude to that higher call.
Absolutely. And seeing the opportunity. Mm-hmm. So many times we think that our opportunities are in the grand things. But you know what I've learned is our greatest opportunities are in the moments of opposition.
Yes.
When we don't want to be used, when it feels hurtful or we want to run, I think that's where God has put us to truly be used. Mm-hmm. You know, at Christmas dinner when the relationships are hard or, you know, when there's a horrid political conversation going on.
You have some of those already?
Oh, my God. Well, I avoid them. I try to avoid them. But if God puts me in one,
yes,
I know that my place is to bring peace into it.
Amen.
and to try to understand something greater than the temporal, right?
Yes, exactly. Without a doubt. But to your point, though, this is a great opportunity.
Yeah.
Because there is this agitation and aggression, and people are frustrated. But, you know, nobody's asking, why are you frustrated?
Right, exactly. So instead of running from it or thinking that that's not where we're supposed to be, you know, take advantage. And the first, you know, I always go back to Jeremiah 6:16, and there are 4 points there. You know, first you pause, then you ponder everything that's going on, then you pray, and then you proceed to speak.
Exactly.
You know, and most of the time I'm doing the first. I proceed to speak first, and I have to go back up. But, you know, God gives us just such practical applications of how to encounter every situation that he puts us into.
The new book, of course, you know Kim Crable from Burdens to Blessings, and as we talked last time, and her book was a blessing, no question, and her ministry continues to be so for people all over the country and the world. Infinitely More, 40 devotions. What do you want the audience to get from this?
I want them to know that there's more, but it's not out in the world. It's not another degree. It's not another prescription pill. It's not the more is Christ in us.
Mm-hmm.
If we have asked Christ into our life, then he resides in us, and he is infinite. And because of that, we have infinitely more within us. So dig into the Word and find where he is and what he wants to do in your life, and begin to access him in the life that you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Wherever you are is right where God wants to use you.
Exactly.
And be the more to those around you, because everyone is seeking more. As believers, we already have the more. He has a name. It's Jesus.
Amen. Amen. And that's, as people of faith, that's what we want to realize, because that just brings more glory to God, right?
Absolutely. And that's our ultimate goal, to bring glory to God.
Well, Kim, how can people be in touch with you?
Just come to kimcrable.org.
Yes, and of course that's CRABILL.
Correct.
Just like that, kimcrable.org, and you're speaking all over the place.
I am.
So your schedule, your schedule's right there.
Absolutely.
So you can invite her to come and speak to your church and your organization,
yes,
and you know, just access her through the website. And you also want to get your hands on this devotion, 40 devotions. I mean, this is really very cool and in depth, and I appreciate. Plus, it's in pretty pink, too,
it
by
is.
The way. Infinitely more than you can ask or imagine. Kim Crable, and go to our website, kimcrable.org, right?
Correct. Thank you,
Kim,
so much.
Thank you. God bless. Appreciate
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. Bless you. Bye-bye. Thank you.
This report is sponsored by the American Society of Retina Specialists. Age-related macular degeneration, or AMD, affects 11 million people in the U.S. and is a major cause of blindness for people age 50 and older. AMD damages the center of the retina. If untreated, it can destroy central vision needed for reading, driving, and recognizing faces. February is AMD Awareness Month. Do you know about AMD risk factors, symptoms, and treatments? Here's Dr. Carl O. of Nashville, Tennessee, the incoming president of the American Society of Retina Specialists.
Retina specialists can preserve and even improve vision in many people with age-related macular degeneration. Thanks to tremendous advances in diagnosis and treatment, people with AMD can maintain active, independent lives. If you have AMD, a family history of AMD, or recent blurred or distorted central vision, see a retina specialist to learn how to protect your vision.
Learn more at savingvision.org. That's savingvision.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Health Secretary Alex Azar saying as of now, most Americans should not be worried about the coronavirus outbreak here. At a White House event yesterday, he was cheering what he called President Trump's historically aggressive containment efforts. Meanwhile, in California, officials are trying to locate everyone that was in contact with a woman thought to be the first known coronavirus case in the nation of unknown origin. The woman lives near the San Francisco Bay Area, and Dr. Bella Matias is the Solano County Public Health Officer.
The individual is really only potentially infectious for about a three-day window before hospitalization occurred. And so we have a narrow enough window to work with that we can be very aggressive in identifying all of the possible contacts in the community.
Yesterday marked six straight trading sessions of plunges on Wall Street over coronavirus fears. The Dow lost nearly 1,200 points. This is USA Radio News.
Are you tired of high cable TV rates? Sign up for Dish today and get a $500 bonus offer while supplies last. Plus, lock in your price for 2 years guaranteed. Call All American Dish, your Dish authorized retailer now.
800-610-5739. 800-610-5739. That's 800-610-5739.
Offers require credit qualification, 24-month commitment, early termination fee, Eddie Auto Bay. Restrictions apply. Call for details.
At the American Veterinary Medical Association annual convention in Washington, D.C., I spoke with Dr. John Howe, AVMA president, about One Health.
One Health is really a collaboration between physicians and veterinarians and public health officials. For example, in Minnesota, our state public health veterinarian deals with zoonotic diseases, rabies, for example. Animals are sentinels for humans, and humans are sentinels for some infections in animals.
There's more valuable information at avma.org.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste implicitly. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
Back with the America, Bill Martinez here. Great to have you along with us sharing a part of your day. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. Well, good news. America Saves Week is in full swing, and Bank of America is encouraging people around the country to make a commitment to save at AmericaSavesWeek.org. You got that? AmericaSavesWeek.org. Just 49% of Americans believe they're saving enough to achieve their financial goals. There's never been a better time to examine your savings behavior and commit to a healthy financial future. April Schneider, head of consumer and small business products at Bank of America, is here to share tips and insights to help make your financial goals a reality, whether they're just starting to save or hoping to build an existing financial habit. April, always good to have you with us. How you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for having me back.
Well, this is exciting. America Saves Week. Great idea. This really brings the focus, on saving. And this is something that people often say, that I should be saving more, if not at all, right?
That's right. So Americans are really wanting to save more. They're trying very hard. And I would say most Americans really recognize the importance of saving money. Over half think they're not saving enough to achieve their goals, according to a recent study that we did at Bank of America. And about 80% say they're saving, but are just really struggling to save successfully.
Mm-hmm. Now, this is really, I mean, for people who save, April, that are successful in doing this, what are you finding makes them, a successful saver?
Well, I would say a couple things help. It's important to save with a plan so that you could really prioritize and hit your savings target. So saving with a plan will help you discuss goals of the family, which is critically important because learning, you know, healthy financial habits at a young age is critical.
Mm-hmm.
I can tell you a couple reasons why. Over half Americans who were never taught how to manage their finances, and they had to figure it out on their own, and two-thirds who were not taught money management skills currently aren't saving money.
Mm.
So think about that. One of my favorite stats is 62% of Gen Zers, by the way, are under 24 years old, wish they'd learned how to budget from an early age.
Wow.
So saving with a plan is critically important. Saving at a young age is critically important as well.
Well, Gen Zers can be encouraged because it's never too late, and they're still early in the process. I mean, it's not like they're 60 and realizing, oh, should have saved, right?
Exactly, and that's the encouraging point, is they're young, and they're saying, I wish I'd learned earlier. So they have all the time in the world still to get there, and they're saying, I'm hungry, let me know more.
Yeah, I thought it was interesting that retirement's still up there in terms of the most common saving goals, almost 50%, increasing their savings, still about the same, saving for vacation, 40%, building an emergency fund, 36%, probably would like to see that emergency fund building savings category to be up a little bit higher, but, you know, nonetheless, sometimes we have to fall off the roof to realize that gravity still exists, and, you know, otherwise we're going to be in that shoulda, coulda, woulda area, right?
Oh, that's right. So a couple things is people realize that, A, I'm not saving. I have to save. And one of the core things is I need to save for an emergency fund for my family just to have some of the basics or for myself. And that falls in one of the top four categories that people realize they need to save. General savings, emergency savings. It seems very basic, but I think people realize that I just need to start. And sometimes I don't know how to start. And those are two of the basic reasons.
Exactly. Planning for retirement, still very important, right?
It is. And only about 54, you know, under 55% of Americans think they're going to be able to have enough to save for retirement. And this is a basic, you know, life goal for people who have been working their entire life. So that's core to having, you know, a healthy retirement with yourself, with your family. So this is a great reason for someone to sit down, have savings goals, talk to a banker, whoever that is, and develop a retirement strategy.
Well, and speaking of banker, I love that you have automatic savings tools. I mean, this is something that has been in operation for quite a while, but we just need to utilize it, right?
Yeah, they've been out there, and I would say just about half of Americans are reporting using automatic savings tools. I'm not surprised. I think that number is pretty good. These are a great way to help you save money consistently and with little effort. I could give you a couple examples of some easy ways to use them. You could set them up in online banking. Two good ways to use them. You could set up automatic transfers from your checking to your savings account based on a recurring time and dollar amount.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I could transfer $20 every week from my checking to my savings account automatically. That would save me $1,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
Or I could deposit a portion of my paycheck, and I would call it split my paycheck, say $25 directly into my savings account and put the rest into my checking.
Exactly.
Two easy ways to kind of set it and forget it, and I could be saving $1,000 a year. Pretty easy, pretty good.
Talk about set it and forget it, but then all of a sudden at the end of the year, you know, several years, you look at it and you go, whoa, this is real money here. This is good.
Exactly.
Well, you also have the idea of save when you spend. How does that work?
There's a couple ways to do that. You could do it with your debit card, you know, you have a Bank of America, or potentially with credit. I'll give you the one example with a debit card. We have a program called Keep the Change, which would round up spending to the nearest dollar for every purchase made with a Bank of America debit card. And that would transfer the difference from your checking to your savings account. Here's the example. If I made a purchase that was $3.50, that would get rounded up to $4.
Mm-hmm.
That difference of 50 cents will get moved to my savings account. So if you think about that, every time I would swipe my debit card or I'd have any type of one-time debit card purchase or recurring debit card payment that I was going to make anyway, I'm saving money.
Mm-hmm.
So that's, you know, save when you spend. The other concept with... Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. I was listening. Go ahead.
The other concept with credit is consider applying for a credit card that lets you earn rewards and purchases, and use those rewards as a saving tool. So,
exactly.
For example, if your credit card gives you cash back, you may want to set those up as auto transfers whenever you reach rewards bounds, $25, $50, and have those deposited directly into your savings account instead of your checking account where you'd be more apt to use it and spend it. Pop it into your savings account and save it.
Well, April Schneider is with us, the head of consumer and small business products at Bank of America. We're talking America Saves Week. April, remind everybody and break it down what America Saves Week is all about and how they can get involved.
Absolutely. So America Saves Week, it's a great program. It's an annual celebration that reinforces the importance of savings. It promotes healthy savings behaviors and encourages a commitment to saving and to setting savings goals, savings with a plan, and also for retirement. And Bank of America is a big supporter of America Saves Week. It encourages individuals to make a commitment to save by taking the America Saves Week pledge. You pledge to work to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth over time. And it's really a very important promise to yourself.
Well, and as you pointed out, April, you know, saving with a plan is so key. And this is foundational. You know, if you want to be successful at saving, you know, follow the lead and do what other, you know, people are doing. And what we have found that's been very consistent is that they're saving with a plan, right?
You got it. I mean, you have to have a plan so that you can first prioritize and then hit your savings targets and then figure out what your short-term and long-term savings goals are. So like you said, with emergency savings, your short-term goal could be, I need to open up a savings account because my longer-term goal is for emergency savings. But I have to plan to know those things.
Tell the audience about Better Money Habits, Bank of America's online financial education platform. I think it's awesome. I love it.
Yeah, we have an awesome online suite of all kind of information. It gives you a refresher on planning and budgeting tips, a smart saving strategy, budget tips, goals. It's bettermoneyhabits.com. It's free online financial education platform that's really helpful. I encourage anyone to go out and visit it, and you could go as deep there as you'd like.
Exactly. This is good stuff, you know, saving with a plan for retirement, opening a savings account. Great ideas, April, that you've shared with us. Using automatic saving tools. I mean, this is a wonderful idea and is proving to be very, very effective. And save when you spend by rounding up. I love that idea. I've got to start doing that.
I would encourage you to do it. Save when you spend in your debit card. If you have a credit card, automatically transfer it into your savings account. You have a couple different ways. And we also have, I didn't mention yet, Bank of America deals. You could earn cash back on deals that you choose when you're paying with an eligible Bank of America debit or credit card. And these deals vary from many restaurants to services to retail stores. And if you add all these programs up, you're going to be saving in many different ways, and you're going to see your savings account just grow.
Okay, we want to take the pledge to save this America Saves Week, which is February 24th. It's been going on this week, and it'll go on through the 29th of February. April Schneider, financial expert and head of consumer and small business products with Bank of America. April, as we wrap things up, remind everybody where they can go for all the information they need to know.
Go to bankofamerica.com.
Now that the Fed has cut interest rates by 0.25%, chances are you're paying too much for your mortgage or those high-interest credit cards. Well, my friends at Network Capital Funding can show you an immediate and smart way to save big money on those monthly bills. In fact, their clients have been saving an average of $528 a month and improving their FICO scores. Imagine what you could do with an extra $6,300 a year. So what are you waiting for? Call Network Capital Funding now, 800-700-8068. We're a direct lender, so there's no middleman and no wasted time. The process is uniquely fast, simple, and secure. These are the best rates we've seen in 10 years. So now is the time to save. Call the experts at Network Capital Funding, 800-700-8068. That's 800-700-8068. Not licensed in all states. NMLS ID number 11712. Visit NMLSConsumerAccess.org. Licensed by the California Department of Business Oversight under the Finance Lender Law number 603-D78. An equal housing lender subject to credit approval.
This report is sponsored by Bank of America. According to new research from Bank of America, 51% of Americans believe they're not saving enough to achieve their financial goals. What are you saving for? During America Saves Week this February, Bank of America is encouraging people to review their financial habits, make a plan, and commit to healthy savings behaviors. Kevin Condon, Bank of America executive.
Understanding how to budget, plan, and manage your money is a critical component of financial security, and it's never too late to begin saving. Building healthy savings habits may seem daunting at first, but Bank of America offers educational resources such as Better Money Habits and automatic savings tools like Keep the Change to help you become a smarter saver and reach your financial goals.
For more savings insights, strategies, and resources, visit bankofamerica.com. That's bankofamerica.com.
We have all seen and perhaps used the alcohol-based hand sanitizers. Have you ever noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? With bacteria and virus problems, sanitizers and hand washing are the first line of defense against infectious disease. GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam meeting or exceeding all requirements as set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration as a first aid antiseptic. When it comes to sanitizers, it only makes sense that it lasts till the next application and doesn't dry and crack your skin, inviting infection. For long-lasting alcohol-free sanitizing, come to GCNteam.com keyword antibacterial. That's GCNteam.com, antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203. 877-878-4203. With more people listening to radio than visit Google, Facebook, or YouTube, from the very young to the very old, everyone listens to radio. Pillow companies, alarm, identity theft, nutrition, insurance, banking, automotive, the list goes on and on. Billion-dollar businesses, why? The answer is radio. The media everyone tunes into. Find out how effective and affordable radio can be for your business. Contact 877-996-4327 or advertise at gcnlive.com.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need Survivalist Camps, the ultimate fully functional, off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well-equipped and custom-built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Someone once said, live free or die, right? Bill Martinez, live.
Well, given the option, right? It's like, hey, come on, easy choice. Well, but we think it's an easy choice between socialism and capitalism, too. But meanwhile, the discussion continues. But that's okay. Let's have a fair conversation about it. Welcome back, America. 14 minutes before the top of the hour, Bill Martinez here. In the background, you heard Mary Bodden kind of chuckling a little bit, and it's good to have her back. It's been a while since we've talked, but yeah. You're still doing great things, as always.
I think so. Very needed program and resources for people.
Well, especially, of course, with all the conversation with what happened in the Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I've been looking forward to talk to you about that, you know, because that was really, the reason du jour, I mean, for you to reinforce, you know, what you're all about and what you're trying to do here.
Absolutely. In fact, for your listeners, I posted a blog on the Sexualized Super Bowl halftime about 2 weeks ago on danceawareness.com, and I'd like to encourage people to look at it, because in all the discussion about the Super Bowl and the halftime, I heard this group feels this way and this group feels this way, and I bring research into it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the blog, the article I posted, is supported with research links that say why the halftime Super Bowl sexualized halftime was so destructive for kids.
Exactly. Well, hypersexual dance, that's, you've been pointing this out for a number of years, and it's been an answer for parents that have seen this. They go, okay, we see this happening. What's the antidote?
Well, the antidote is to get the research and the data to support your position and how you feel.
Right.
I'm not dissing feelings, but people tend to listen much better when you have a research base.
Exactly.
To what your thoughts are.
Well, because the emotions can only carry you so far, right? After a while, you kind of spend yourself out, and the next thing you know, you're cycling, and you're giving the same argument. But if you have the facts and the studies behind it, then it adds more dimension, and it's more appreciative in the discussion.
And actually, credibility.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
We have to be credible when we say things, and otherwise it's just you feel this way and I feel this way.
Mm-hmm.
But the data, I can tell you one research study in 2015 and 2017 says when children or adults are objectified or you watch it,
mm-hmm.
what happens is you see hypersexualized dance,
mm-hmm.
and you don't think the person has any dignity, and you don't think they have an independent mind, and so you see them as an object. Mm-hmm. Objects are dehumanized.
Yes.
So children that watch that, the brain research says they model and want to copy what they see from their icons.
Exactly.
So when children watch hypersexualized movement as well as when they do it, it's not good.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's I imagine it sets something off psychologically.
Absolutely.
Right? So you get a we talk about renewing our minds.
Yeah.
So now we're renewing our minds to the acceptance of hypersexual dancing.
Yeah, and can I share what the APA says is the
yes,
definition
please.
Of a child who's hypersexualized. They say, and this applies to adults as well, but we're talking about dance mm-hmm. and children and why they shouldn't be watching or doing this. They say a child is hypersexualized when they're valued only for their sexual appeal or behavior.
Mm-hmm.
They're hypersexualized when their physical attractiveness is equated with being sexy. They're hypersexualized when they're made into an object. Or they're hypersexualized when sexuality is inappropriately imposed on them.
Mm-hmm.
Now, even one of those things meets the criteria for hypersexualization.
Wow. Well, and it's interesting because here we are in an era of the hashtag Me Too movement.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
It's totally incongruous.
It really is.
And how the very same women, and just say it for what it is, who are hashtagging everything, they're celebrating and saying,
yeah.
Oh, well, you're being too sensitive. Or
yeah,
whatever.
Can I encourage your listeners, when people say you're empowered to be part of hypersexualized movement, they're really being exploited.
Mm-hmm.
So we're not empowering women.
Yes.
And men, if they are involved in that, or children. You're exploiting them. It's really soft core porn.
Exactly. And you're calling it for what it is.
I mean,
right? For some people, they're, whoa, you know, but really, it starts taking you down that road, doesn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. About 15 years ago, the cultural media, we had a shift from healthy, age-appropriate children's dance,
mm-hmm.
and I think dance in general, to hypersexualized, harmful dance.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, I'm focusing on the harms for children.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a cultural shift because of the media, and we started accepting into our homes as normal what is not normal.
Mm-hmm. What was it that shifted it?
I think the media, we are influenced by media. In back of media is the internet, and
mm-hmm.
in back of the internet is the pornography industry.
Mm-hmm.
And there we're starting to influence all kinds of, I think, troubling kinds of values into
mm-hmm.
our culture, and we accepted it. Nobody said, wait a minute, what's going on? Why would we take a little person and put them in adult costumes choreography and music?
Mm-hmm.
You can't be a child and be an adult at the same time, right?
Right, exactly.
So we're blurring the norms between and the passage from childhood to adulthood. And I think in our culture, if you start looking,
mm-hmm.
you're going to see that it's troubling because we're making children into adults in terms of how they look, what they're able to do, and it's reaching into two-year-olds.
Yeah, exactly. It's pretty
and
scary.
Younger.
Yeah,
it's really scary,
yeah.
And we need to have respectful conversations and take courage and begin to talk about this.
Mary, and this is why I appreciate you coming on the show and, you know, what you have done and your heart, because you're that voice, and probably sometimes you feel like that voice crying out in the desert.
I do a little bit, but I also know God's with me, and He gives me the power to speak truth. And so it's actually a blessing, and it gives me purpose.
Exactly. Well, I got to tell you, it is such a blessing because we need to have some pushback. Because as you say, it's almost like we have all these little Trojan horses coming into our culture, you know, with music videos. And, you know, this all is demonstrative. And it just you get what Pat Riley calls the disease of more.
Yeah.
You know, if you've got X here, then, you know, next year it's got to be double X. And in movies the same way.
Right. And we just keep normalizing what's not normal. Because there's no boundaries that are being spoken out about.
And that's the thing I thought was quite interesting. Here it is. I mean, with the Super Bowl and this exposition that took place, you did have an outcry of people going, wait, no, this crossed the line. This is unacceptable. And but yet, you know, you had the typical celebrities in Hollywood defending and, you know, all the artistes defending it without even stopping for a moment and even considering the damage they were doing to young kids.
I really think we're too busy. Everybody's running around. They're so busy that they're not having a time and a space to step back and reflect, because that's what God has knit and designed into our hearts, is this ability to reflect and make healthy choices. And without that, the default is just what the media sends us, and we just do it.
Well, it comes back, I mean, it comes back to who are you glorifying? You're going to glorify something.
Mm-hmm.
Really? It's one
or
the other.
Absolutely. We always glorify what our values are and what they represent. And if you're not thinking about that, even as Christians, I think the lack of awareness makes us travel on pathways that really are destructive.
Well, without a doubt, this is why pornography is in the church to the degree it is.
You know,
You know, I mean, the fact that one research says that approximately a third of the people in with you in church on Sunday in the pews are being influenced by pornography. Pastors in churches, you know, the number one time that they view pornography? I mean, these are pastors who want one moment preaching the gospel on Sunday morning, and do you know when they go and get on the internet and start looking at porn?
No.
Let's try. Okay, survey says, I mean, here's the research. Sunday evening.
Yeah.
Sunday evening. I think it's quite curious because it reminds me of that, it reminds me of the word in, I believe it's in Proverbs, where the woman says, look, I've paid all my tithes, in a sense. My husband's gone. I've done all my rightful duties in church, so to speak. And this is what it reminds me of, is that we get into this, you know, kind of a double, you know, lifestyle, you know, and this other mixed lifestyle, somehow that we feel is justified because, well, I've done the right thing a moment ago earlier in the day, and now I can abandon that.
Well, I think one of the challenges that we have is that the media influences us, as I just mentioned, more than we might think. And I think pastors are not immune from that, and they're tired. And studies and research also say that that's the time when you're exhausted. You go to something, you know, that maybe is in secret or in the dark, so to speak, whatever habit that might be.
Right.
And we want to lift these issues and these habits to the light. And I think even in talking about them, there's quite a bit of healing that happens. I should also mention to your listeners that I'm affiliated with the National Center on Sexual Exploitation. So I do understand that statistic about the church. I think it's higher.
You know. Could very well be, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we always
have
those.
That's what I hear. I go to those conferences. I speak at those conferences. It's a high number of people. And just because you're a Christian doesn't mean.
Exactly.
You're
immune from
walking in the light.
How can they be in touch with you, Mary Bodden? 5 seconds.
Go to danceawareness.com. I have free research-based resources that you can print and you can share in video.
I don't even recognize myself anymore.
I'm really worried about him. His addiction. I haven't seen him like this. Ever.
Hey, look, I never wanted to start using. I knew the drill, but
I was out of options.
I just want to tell him it's not your fault. There are people out there who can help. People who have felt your pain. They know what you're going through.
This has to stop. I'm losing everything. Everyone.
You've been strong your whole life. You can do this, but you have to reach out for help.
It's time. I can do this.
Addiction is a disease, and diseases need treatment.
Call Quit Drugs 321 now at 800-377-1456. 800-377-1456. That's 800-377-1456. Paid for by the Detox and Treatment Helpline.
You've seen crazy diet.